It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, November 12th. Happy birthday to my dad. Shout out, Dad. Happy birthday to you. Love you, buddy. Happy birthday. And this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And, well, we have a jam-packed week here because between now and Thursday at 8:20, we got to preview one of the biggest games of the Eagles season. Could end up being the biggest game of the season and one of the bigger games they've played in a long time. Last year at the end of the season, there were obviously big games, but those were more because it was collapsing and they desperately needed a win. This is two teams playing well, big time playoff implications, Eagles versus Washington Commanders, division rivalry. Man, we got a lot to do before Thursday at 8:20. So let's just get right into it because we got Sirianni audio for you, Devontae audio for you, Bryce Huff previewing the Washington Commanders. And we even got a shout out for our boy, Drew from Westchester, who's going international. Drew, big time. I always knew he would be. But we know the Gilberts family always does it big. So let's get right into it. So today will be essentially the Eagles' big day of practice here. This will be the big media day where we get to talk to all the players and all that good stuff. So here's what you should keep an eye out for today. At 12:40, Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore will hold their press conferences. Obviously, Vic Fangio's defense playing at an unbelievable level right now, arguably a top five unit in the entire NFL. And the stats back that up. The eye test back that up. The way the players are playing backs that up. So excited to hear from Vic. Kellen Moore, always good to hear from Kellen. Michael Clay, I would assume as well, going to talk today, but not much going on with Michael Clay, to be honest. Pretty boring week there for the special teams. But 12:40, that's when we'll hear from the coordinators. 4 o'clock, the team is going to have a walkthrough. That is closed to the media, so we're not going to get to see them on the field this week. We're not going to get to see who's out there until the injury report comes out. Not going to get a look at the guys, how they're practicing, how they look, those type of things, because they're only going to have walkthroughs this week. And of course, with the short game, that is important. I have Sirianni talking about that in a second on how they prepare for it. And then 5 o'clock, a little Eagles after dark, open locker room. That's when we're going to get to talk to the players. Jalen Hurts is going to speak. So that'll be what the day looks like on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we'll talk to Nick. But outside of that, man, day after that, the game is here. So it is going to be a short week of media availability, short week of hearing from these guys, and this game is going to be here before you know it. So that is what is on the schedule for Tuesday. The injury report, we're going to combine that with the news portion of this podcast. The Eagles did make a move on Monday, opening the 21-day practice window for offensive tackle Jordan Mailata. Now, I am recording this prior to the players lounge on Monday night. We'll make sure to put that players lounge in the feed for you guys. But Jordan Mailata is going to be hanging out with me, Ike Reese, and Hugh Douglas for an hour tonight at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Always a good time there. So maybe he'll let us know what his status is. But as of right now, his status is still up in the air. Nick Sirianni was asked about Mailata, if he'll have a chance to play. But also an important part of this is, can he be ready to play? Can he be ready to play without really much practice at all? And here is what Sirianni had to say.
Is Jordan Mailata a possibility for Thursday night? And if so, how do you ascertain his readiness in a week of walkthroughs?
Yeah, good question, Zach. We'll see. We'll see how this week goes of putting him in positions to see if he can do some things. Obviously we'll have to be creative there, knowing that we will be doing walkthroughs. There's some different things we'll do later in the week that will be a little bit more than walkthrough to help with that as well, to get their bodies going. So we'll have to be creative with that with Jordan. I think what one thing that will be, even though we're doing walkthroughs, we'll still have some individual periods at times, to get the guys going. Again, just so their bodies are moving. So those will be opportunities for him to do that. But like I said, we'll see where he is by the end of the week. We don't have to make a decision now. We have time. Excited that he has the possibility to be back. But, you know, again, Fred's done a nice job. And we'll play it by ear. If Jordan's not ready, he won't go. If he's ready, he'll go. So we'll see. We'll see where we are at the end of the week.
So interesting that he says that, because on the injury report, the Eagles did list Jordan Mailata as a full participant. Now, quickly, they had Bryce Huff with the wrist as a full participant. And now this is an estimate of a walkthrough. So on Monday, they estimated that if the team had a practice, who would be a full participant? Jordan Mailata, full participant. Bryce Huff, full participant. Nakobe, Dallas Goedert, Darius Slay, and Devontae all did not practice. My guess is all four play in that game. Darius Slay would be the one I would keep an eye out for. But overall, a very good initial injury report for the Eagles to begin the week. But here's the interesting thing about the Mailata situation. So it seems like Mailata is going to play, right? That's my guess. He's a full participant of practice. They opened up the practice window. I think he's going to play. But I don't think it's a slam dunk decision to put him out on the field. And it has nothing to do with Jordan Mailata, the player. Mailata has been one of the best tackles in the NFL this season. But it is tough. Like, he's not going to get a true full practice before this game. He's not going to get, you know, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday normal week of practice before the game. And for what it's worth, Fred Johnson has been playing really well. Against the Cowboys on Sunday, he allowed 2 hurries and 33 pass rush snaps. Against Jacksonville, he allowed 3 hurries and 37 pass rush snaps. And then against Cincinnati, he allowed 1 in 24 snaps. Now, keep in mind, he was giving up like 8 to 10 pressures early on this season when he was filling in. So he has improved week over week. Tough matchup: Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Dallas. They all have good edge rushers, or at least top-end edge rushers. You know, Micah Parsons, Jacksonville, the 2 stud edge rushers they have, and then Hendrickson on Cincinnati. So he's played better and better. So I don't know if there's that need to force Mailata out there before he's ready. It sounds like he's going to play. And if Stoutland feels he's ready, then I think you just trust Stoutland and you put Mailata out there. But if you sit him on Thursday, he then gets that extra like week and a half. He gets a full week of practice going into that Rams game. I think there's a lot of logic to sitting him. I know that it's a big game, and I know Mailata is an awesome player. But Fred's been playing really well. The unit's playing really well together. They have that chemistry going. Everything's clicking. I think there's a lot of logic for playing Fred Johnson as well. So, speaking of Nick Sirianni, here he was asked on Monday how they prepare on a short week for such a big game. And I think one of the phrases he used in here was pretty interesting. So here's what Nick had to say about preparing for a short week in a big game against Washington.
You mentioned a little bit about the short week as much as you can. Can you take us into the preparation of this week versus a normal Sunday, Monday week and how things change, or is it that drastic?
Yeah, it's obviously drastic. I mean, you'd say let's say 100-hour work week, and now you got to do it in 4 days, because there you can't be like, oh, I'm going to skip this week, or I'm going to skip that this week. It's all the same amount of work has to be put in. Some coaches, you know, and everybody, you know, you don't meet 100% of the time all together. You know, there's portions of the week where you're preparing on your own and then coming together to kind of talk about what you learned on your own. And so some coaches, all coaches are a little bit different. Some coaches will do it all in the week, or, you know, on the flight home, or some will do it in the week before, you know, in the little bit of free time that they have there. So, but no steps are ever skipped. It's just everything gets crammed into, you know, into a shorter amount of time. And so that's what we're working through right now is, you know, I think a lot of guys will have big bags under our eyes at the end of the week, but you know, we got to do what we need to do as coaches to get the guys ready. What's important is that the players are ready to go, that they're rested, you know, as much as they possibly can be. And like I said, it doesn't matter how our coaches feel. We just got to get the work done and get these guys prepared as much as we possibly can, and be thinking sharp when, and we can sleep a little later in the week when, you know, thinking sharp on game day. And as we lead up here. So it's always a. I always think that these Thursday night games, I know they're a pain in the butt to prepare for. They're a pain in the butt for the players to, you know, to turn around. I really have so much respect for the players that they have to turn around and do the things they have to do. But as a coach, I feel like there's like Kevin Petullo and I were talking about a couple of the Thursday night games that we've had in the past and the week leading up to it. Leading up to the game and the stories that we have, I always think it's a cool bonding thing for the coaches. We're spending a lot. I won't see my kids very much this week or my wife very much this week, but I sure will see Kevin Petullo a lot and Kellen Moore a lot and Vic Fangio a lot. But I always think there's always cool stories that come out of that, and that's the cool part of the journey that you're grinding together for a common good, a common goal. And you'll remember those things. These are the things that are so cool about being part of a football team. And so we'll make some memories this week but it ultimately have to go out there and play a good game against a good opponent.
Yeah. I think his thing about how you have to do 100 hours of work in 40 hours, whatever it is true. And I mean, everybody has busy weeks at work and you can sympathize with that, right? Like, I'm not comparing my work week to his, but like, you know, look, this Daily Go Birds pod is going to be longer than normal. Like, I did all my Washington prep on Monday morning to prepare for this pod, whereas I normally don't do that until Tuesday. Like, it is just a tighter week for everybody. So I can only imagine for the team. Now, they do a lot of pre-work on this, right? Like, I'm sure they had coaches on the staff prior to the Dallas game preparing for Washington. And I will say one thing that is nice about that Dallas game not being as tough because of injuries and their record, you could probably dedicate more man hours to other coaches to work on Washington. So I do believe they'll be prepared. But as exciting as it is that this game is going to be in prime time, and as exciting as it is that this game, we don't have to wait 4 more days for this game, whatever it would be, it is a bit of a shame that a game of this magnitude is going to be played with essentially getting like 2 days of preparation. Because you figure they come home Monday, they get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they get that too. Thursday's game day. But those 3 days of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, those aren't 3 full days. Like, the players aren't getting the full kind of reps and work that they normally get. So, look, if I'm not mistaken, the Eagles and Sirianni are maybe undefeated on Thursday night, or at least have a pretty good record. Actually, that's not true. That's not true at all. I take that back. But I will be interested to see how they come out. In a game that is going to have a ton of playoff implications, in a game that is a matchup of 2 of the best teams in the NFC, like, something else that's going to be tested here is just the work of these two teams, like the continuity, what they have going, how hard they work in between the game and Thursday. Like, there's another element to this game. Obviously, throughout the week, they all put in a lot of work. But when you're tested with a difference in schedule and a change for such a big game like this, it is another element of testing these two teams. So winning on Thursday night would be incredibly impressive. We're going to dive more into Washington at the end of the pod. But yeah, going to be a really hectic, busy week with a lot of stuff jam-packed in there for the Eagles. Nick Sirianni was also asked, and, you know, Devontae Smith had a quote last week, and we didn't really get into it, just didn't end up making the pod. But it has been in my head since he said it. So first, I'm going to play this. So this audio is via David Uram of KYW. He was up front, as he always is, as that good audio of Devontae. And Devontae was asked essentially about, you know, the lack of targets, because with the Eagles running it more, obviously they're passing it less. And so that means fewer targets for Devontae. Here's what Devontae had to say about, you know, if it's tough to not get as many targets.
It's taken a lot of buy-in from guys to kind of accept the offense the way it's evolved these last 4 weeks. I mean, Jalen's definitely not dropping back as much. How do you handle that?
It's tough, especially as a guy that, you know, wants the ball, a guy that wants to go out there and, you know, be productive and help the offense succeed. It's tough, but, you know, you can't get down about it because, you know, at the end of the day, we're winning. Like I always say, when you got Superman in the backfield doing the things he do, jumping on people backwards, you expect that. They gonna handle the ball, and I have no problem with it. And, it just comes down to, like we said in our room, when it comes to you, you got to make the most of your opportunity.
So I thought it was a really honest answer from Devontae. Like, I'm sure it is tough. And that is the headline of the quote. Like, Devontae Smith says it's tough not getting as many targets. I do think the second half of that quote is also important. Like, he did say that he understands that with Saquon playing the way Saquon's playing, he's going to get the ball a ton. Nick Sirianni was asked about this on Monday because Devontae's targets, obviously since the bye week with them running it a lot more, have been down a lot. Here's what Nick had to say when asked about Devontae's lack of targets.
I know this may be low on your list of concerns, but Devontae Smith averaged 9.5 targets in the first three games. And since the bye, that number is cut. It's actually in half. How do you juggle, the fact that your offense is thriving versus not getting one of your better players as involved as you probably would like to?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jeff. Obviously, it's always in our thought process to get them the ball. You know, three of the last four games have, been really heavy run in the second half, because of the leads that we had and probably, more so, I think if you add all the snaps up that Devontae hasn't played in that portion, he hasn't played a lot in that portion of the game. Obviously got to take a lot of the guys out yesterday with rest. But it's still on our mind to get him the ball. It's still on our mind to get AJ the ball. It's still on our mind to get Dallas the football right now. And there's going to be games where it's gonna have to go that way. And right now we have a formula of how we're winning. We want to continue on that, but also know that we have a lot of different pieces to be able to, to win different ways. And so I just think about the opportunities that Devontae has gotten. He's really taken advantage of. Obviously a huge play last game against Jacksonville to help us win that football game on a 3rd and 20. Had a big time third down catch in that game as well. Devontae was our player of the game, I believe, that the game before, because of how good he played with the football in his hands and when the football went to him, and also when it wasn't going to him. And so, he is such a good teammate and such a selfless teammate that he's blocking his butt off and doing things to change the game when the ball's not coming to him. And so that's just something that happens through the ebbs and flows of the season, where sometimes you're getting a bunch of targets and sometimes you're not. And we know that to be the team that we want to be and to be the successful team we want to be, Devontae Smith has to play a huge role in the offense, and he will as we continue forward.
So we talked about this either last week or the week before on the pod about this constant kind of monitoring of how many targets players are getting. And I don't think it's like foolish to do, right? Like, it matters. Like, Devontae wants the ball. AJ wants the ball. Dallas Goedert wants the ball. Saquon wants the ball. Jahan Dotson wants the ball. Like, everyone on the team wants the ball. But it does feel like since they have kind of put together this group of skilled players, we are constantly on the lookout for players being upset. Like, with a microscope, like looking on the sideline, right? And it just hasn't really happened. I'm not disputing that I'm sure behind the scenes, like, players at times are upset about the lack of targets, right? 100%. I'm not disputing it at all. It would not shock me at all if a report came out like, such and such player is unhappy with, like, I'm not disputing that. But publicly, in like the body language on the sideline for 99% of the time, the way these guys get along, I just truly don't see it as an issue. And part of it is because they've paid them all. And I hate to keep hammering home this point, but if we're going to talk about the amount of targets these guys get and how they feel about it, you have got to bring up the fact that they have all been paid. And if Devontae didn't get that contract prior to the season, I think this is something we'd be talking about way more. But because he did get paid and he did get that huge guaranteed money, like, I don't think it's as big of a deal. Now, Devontae saying it's tough, again, that is a quote that is stuck in my head. So, like, I understand the attention being paid to it to an extent, but it just feels like it's never been a real problem for as much time and effort as we all dedicate to wondering if they'll be upset about. I can't tell me how many times on WIP I've been asked, like, do you think this player is going to be upset with the lack of targets? Do you think this player is going to be upset with the lack of targets? And it just never really comes to fruition. So I'm not saying it will never come to fruition, but it just hasn't yet. And so I know for me, at least, like, I can't sit and worry about it. Not disputing it won't be a problem at one point or that it could potentially be a problem. I just don't view it as a realistic thing because we've never really dealt with it in any meaningful way. Okay, next up, as I said at the top of the pod, Drew from Westchester, you all know him, you all love him, calls into Go Birds all the time, calls in all the WIP shows all the time, but we all know deep down he's a Go Birds caller. He had an awesome stat that he tweeted out after the Eagles win on Sunday, and the stat was essentially that this is the third straight season Nick Sirianni has had a winning streak of 5+ games. Only two other coaches have accomplished that, Andy Reid and Sean McDermott, among active coaches. Pretty wild. Like, and that is the weird thing about the Eagles. They are incredibly streaky. Like, you think about the beginning of 2021, they start 2-5. Then they go on that big run towards the end of the season. 2022, they basically streak the whole season. Like, they're red hot the whole year. 2023, start off red hot. Then they have one of the biggest collapses ever, and that streak essentially goes from like week 12 or whatever it was of 2023 to the bye week of this season. Then since then, 5 straight wins. So Nick was asked about that stat. So shout out to Drew. Pretty cool thing his stat got asked to Nick Sirianni. And here's what Nick had to say.
It's the third straight year now you guys have had at least a win streak of at least 5 games. What's something, I know personnel changes over time, but what's something that you've learned about this current group that you have right now during that win streak, and how do you guys maintain this over the rest of the year?
Yeah, you know, we're just worried about the next one. And that's, I think that's all you can do is, like, no one's thinking about a win streak when it's, you know, it's the first game, and you shouldn't be thinking about it in the fifth game. You just want to continue to play good football. And so, you know, and wins, you know, clump together as they have. Again, though, we don't think about it that much. We don't think about, you know, about that portion of it, because we're constantly in the moment of where we are. And this week, you don't got time at all to think about a win streak this week, because it's such a quick turnaround to our next game against a really good opponent. And so our focus is on getting better every day. If you can string some wins together as you do that, that's ideal. But getting better every day through the good things that we do, and then also the mistakes that we do.
Yeah, I mean, the quote about, I'm just worried about the next one, like, you want to talk about vibes at all-time high. That is like Tom Brady chills level of, like, I'm worried about my next ring. Obviously, not the same thing. But look, it is a really cool stat, and it does speak to the fact that when Nick gets the team rolling, like, he is really able to get them going. And you can see that with how they're playing right now. Like, they are playing at a high level. They're playing well. They're playing together. They look like they're having fun out there. I just think it's impressive that he's done it 3 straight years, and it's impressive that he's one of only 2-3 coaches in the NFL to do it. So, speaking of body language and speaking of guys having a good time, let's talk about Bryce Huff and Jalix Hunt. We didn't get into this on the postgame pod, really. Didn't get into it on the daily pod, but I did get a chance to talk to Bryce Huff after the game on Sunday. So, for those that were too busy paying attention to the fact that they won and the fact that it was a great performance, one of potentially the only, like, negatives in that game was that Bryce Huff didn't play until the second quarter, and Jalix Hunt, the rookie, who was viewed as like a redshirt kind of like freshman, and for lack of a better term, got more snaps than he did. So the snaps ended up being Jalix Hunt got 25 snaps, Bryce Huff got 12 snaps. So I asked Bryce Huff about that, and here's some of the back and forth with Bryce.
That strip sack you got at the end there, can you kind of take me through the play?
So he was kind of overshooting me all game, sitting on speed rushes and stuff, so I was just doing a switch up and was able to beat him with the hump and shot.
You have like 4 or 5 as many hurries these last 5 games as you did the first 4 games. It seems like you're really coming on and getting more pressure. I know it's just the game just happened. What do you attribute to, like, your ability to maybe get more pressure now than you did at the beginning of the season?
I'm not too sure. I think a lot of it has to do with me just getting my mental straight and just locking in and focusing on what matters the most, and then just turning up my intensity when it comes to individual and practice and the things that my coach tells me I need to get better at. So I've just been locked in, and me and the guys go every day, just feed off of each other's energy, and they help me get better, and I try to help them get better where I can, and I feel like that synergy was helping me get more production.
Earlier in the game, Jalix was getting in the game ahead of you. He had more snaps than you, I think, in the first half. Is that something you were aware of going into the week, that it would be like that, or was that how the game played out?
I mean, that's just how it played out. I don't really focus too much on that. Like I said before, like, whatever coach deems necessary, that's what I'm going to keep. I'm just lean into it and perform at my best whenever I'm on the field.
Did the coach talk to you all this week about a change in your role, or was your role just...
I mean, mean, not necessarily. I mean, with the thing, everything going on my wrist, I've been trying to protect it as much as I could versus the run, so I'm not taking on strikes and jarring, like, blows to it and just helping it heal.
How is your wrist?
It's getting a lot better. It's getting better.
Did you have, it seemed like you had to wear it.
So he mentions the wrist again. Obviously, the wrist was brought up last week as a reason why he didn't play. He only played six snaps against Jacksonville. Worth noting, he was a full participant in practice like throughout the week, if I remember correctly. At least he definitely did have an injury designation going into the game. So the Eagles are telling you that he is healthy. Now, I do think there is probably truth to, like, when you have an injury, there are certain things you do better than others. I think that Vic Fangio and Bryce seem to agree that, like, running downs are not great for him right now. My guess is their reasoning for it is different. I know Bryce, and maybe they're telling him this, it believes it's like the wrist. My guess is Vic Fangio doesn't think he's very good against the run. That's been a constant theme really throughout the year since Bryce Huff has gotten here. So you go and you watch the tape. So as I said, Jalix Hunt, 25 snaps. He ends with zero hurries, hits, or sacks. Bryce Huff gets 12 snaps. He, of course, gets that strip sack fumble that the team recovers. And, you know, the body language, and I should have asked Bryce this, but the body language after that strip sack, to me, is very noteworthy. So since Nick Sirianni has been here, he's always really concentrated on body language, like celebrations after the play. Who's celebrating with who? Are guys having a good time? I mean, I think in one of his first videos he shot for the Eagles when he was hired, he points to a group of tight ends on the Colts and how they all celebrated when one of the tight ends caught a pass in a game. If you go back and watch that Bryce Huff play, after the snap, he just looks not excited. Like, he just kind of finishes a play, starts to walk back, like no true celebration, right? You do wonder how Bryce Huff feels about this new role, especially when, and you know, I think all players need to be graded on different scales. Like, the fact that Jalix Hunt was out there for 25 snaps midway through his rookie season, that's an A performance. Just out on the field, getting the snaps, coaching staff trusts you enough, didn't make any major mistakes from what I could tell, that's an A performance. But I also think it's worth noting that, like, right now, Bryce Huff is a better pass rusher than Jalix Hunt is. So Jalix Hunt, I went back and watched all 25 of his snaps, and there's a lot to like about him as a player. I think fans should be really excited about him. Ultra athletic, especially when you have him and Nolan on either sides. Like, just looking at those two stand up and, like, the speed they have, the long arms, the athleticism, like, it's a very intriguing set of edge rushers. But Jalix Hunt right now didn't really win a lot in the game yesterday. Like, got swallowed up a lot by the tackles. He did have one play where he pushed a tackle back into the pocket, almost got to the quarterback. That was intriguing to see. You can tell he's a hustle player. Like, he's consistently running from one side to the other if the running play goes the opposite way. So I think you leave it feeling, like, encouraged about where Jalix Hunt is at. But Bryce Huff is a better pass rusher right now than Jalix Hunt is. And Bryce Huff, for what it's worth, since the bye week, like, has been better and better. So yesterday, in that game, he finishes, again, with the strip sack fumble. I think he has 9 hits, hurries, and sacks in the last 5 games. He only had 3 in the first 4 games. So he's played better and better. Now, it's noteworthy to me that of the 12 snaps he played, 7 of them were third downs. So he's getting back to playing mostly all on third downs. Two of the snaps were second and long, so obvious passing situations. One was on fourth down, so that's, you know, in theory, a passing situation. And he played only 1 first and 10. So of the 12 snaps he played, only 1 could have been, I mean, I know any could be a run play, but only 1 sets up as a true, like, 50-50 run pass play. So clearly, they can talk about the wrist, and I'm sure that's part of it. They have decided Bryce Huff is just what he was in New York, which is a situational pass rusher that they're going to put out there on obvious passing downs, and he can be good at it. Like, put his hands in the ground. He had to play yesterday. So I do understand why Jalix Hunt is going to play more snaps, it seems. Like, Jalix Hunt is not better than Bryce Huff, but I think they probably think he's better than against the run right now. He's a better athlete than Bryce Huff is. But make no mistake about it, and I think the Eagles would probably agree with me on this. If it's a 3rd and 8 in Detroit, and this is how I view everything now, NFC Championship game versus Detroit, 3rd and 8, have to have it down. Who do you want out there, Jalix Hunt or Bryce Huff? I still think it's going to be Bryce Huff. We'll see how the minutes shake out, or not minutes. We'll see how the snaps shake out before then. But I still think that Bryce Huff is a better player than Jalix Hunt. And I think that on big money downs where they have to get to the quarterback, you will still see Bryce Huff out there over Jalix Hunt. Okay. After the break, let's start talking about this game. Every week I do prep, obviously, for the opponents. And let me tell you, it's been a long time since I've written down numbers on offense like this. At least, you know, obviously the Bengals were very good. But outside of that, week after week, the offensive numbers, not that good recently of who they've played. The Commanders, pretty impressive offensive numbers. So on the other side, we are going to do it a little different. We're not going to do like a preview position by position since it's a short week. We're just going to talk about the strengths and weaknesses of the Washington Commanders. So on the other side, we're going to start to dive into to Washington. But first, a word from our sponsor. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, so on the plane back from Dallas, I did this on the plane ride back from Dallas. And as I'm doing it, Wi-Fi not working great. But I fought through, no big deal to me. This is why I went to college. And let me tell you, the Washington offense, offense's numbers, very, very impressive. So I'm just going to fly through some of their numbers real quick, then I'll dive into a little more about the specifics of them. So they come into this game third in the NFL in points per game. They're averaging 29 points per game. This, to me, is a better look at the offense. They are first in the league in points per drive. So no team in the NFL average more points per possession than Washington does. They are first in plays per drive, so they have long drives. They are first in time of possession. They control the ball. They are first in turnovers, as in the least amount of turnovers. They have the second fewest interceptions and the second fewest fumbles lost. So they are an offense that holds on to the ball, doesn't turn the ball over, controls the ball through converting on third downs and having long drives, and they score a lot. Like, that is a difficult offense to go against. That is a winning combination there. The 2017 Eagles did it. The 2022 Eagles did it. The best teams in the NFL control the ball. They don't have three and outs. They kill time. They keep other offenses on the field. And that's what Washington does. And not only does Washington end the drives with points, they end it with touchdowns. First in the NFL again in points per drive. So they're fifth in red zone offense, which obviously makes sense because that's how they keep the ball. That's how they keep converting these drives. They convert consistently on third down. 16th in red zone offense, which was a little surprising, but still, when you're first in points per drive, you're obviously getting in the end zone enough. I will say one thing that was surprising to me for all the talk of Jaden Daniels, and he is awesome. Like, he is an awesome quarterback. He is still being treated like a rookie in some ways. So they are fourth in rushing attempts, fifth in net yards per attempt. So they are an excellent rushing team. Now, I know part of this probably has to do with the fact that they are winning a lot of these games big. Like, I get that. But they are 27th in passing attempts. They are 24th in, I'm sorry, they're 27th in passing attempts, but they are fifth in net yards per attempt. So I misspoke there. They have fifth in net yards per attempt throwing the ball. So they are a good throwing team when they need to be. They are good at throwing the ball, but they just don't do it as much. Like, they don't ask Jaden Daniels to carry the team by throwing the ball through the air. They run the ball a lot. They kill the clock. They get in manageable third downs. And then from there, Jaden Daniels, very, very accurate quarterback. We're going to talk about him more probably on tomorrow's pod. We really dive into the Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels of this. But the offense, just super impressive. What was surprising to me is the defense. So when you're 7-2, 7-3 now, obviously all parts of the team are clicking at a relatively high level. But the defensive stats are not good. They are 12th in the league in points per game. That's not bad, right? That's a decent number. They are 27th in the NFL in points per drive. Now, again, you can point to part of this and go like, well, they're probably a big late in games. So they're giving like 27th in points per drive. That is an eye-opening stat to me. That is like the Eagles can win this game stat. Their defense is just not that good. They're 30th in red zone percentage, 23rd in red and third down defense, 27th in net yards allowed passing per attempt, 29th in net yards allowed rushing per attempt, and they're 18th in turnovers forced. They're not good at stopping the run. They're not good at stopping the pass. They're not good at getting off the field. They're not good at keeping teams out of the red zone, and they're not good at keeping teams off the scoreboard. And why is that? Well, they just don't have a ton of talent on that defense, which is why they went out and traded for a Marshon Lattimore. Their edge rushers have good numbers, but I'm not afraid of Dante Fowler and Dorrance Armstrong. Dante Fowler, 8.5 sacks this year, 9 quarterback hits, 18 hurries. 18 hurries in there'll be 10 games. Not a outstanding number. I mean, he's roughly on pace for like 45-ish off the top of my head, which is a good number. It's not like a elite pass rusher number. I don't think they have elite edges. Dorrance Armstrong, 6 quarterback hits so far this season. Clinton Farrell is their third edge rusher, 3 hits, 4 hurries. They just don't have great edge rushers. Where they really kind of do well is in the middle, obviously. Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, still both very good defensive tackles. They're probably the best players on their defense. They have good linebackers, too. I'll say that. Like Bobby Wagner, I'm going to mispronounce this dude's name. Frankie Laval, really good linebacker as well. But their defense as a whole is just not good. They're cornerbacks. We'll see if Marshon Lattimore plays this week. But he's 24th according to Pro Football Focus. But after that, they don't have a cornerback ranked higher than 51. And their number one corner, the guy that was one of their first round picks, Benjamin St. They have a secondary of names that are hard to pronounce. I apologize. I looked up the pronunciations. I can't do it. He's 103rd in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. So you look at the strengths and weaknesses of this team. The strength, their offense is a juggernaut. They control the ball. They score points. They convert on third down. They're pretty good in the red zone. They have an accurate quarterback, creative play caller. Their offense is awesome. They're going to score points against the Eagles. This is probably one of those games where if the Eagles defense can hold them under 30 points, hold them like 24, 27-ish points, like that's probably a decent outcome. Obviously, below 20 would be an outstanding outcome. And the way they're playing, like it's certainly possible. The Eagles defense could do that. But you would hope for like 24 points, I think, would be a good outcome. Obviously, Terry McLaurin, awesome number one receiver. He certainly goes down as a strength. Like I mentioned, the running game, they control the clock. They're really good running the ball. They have 2 good running backs in Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler. And then, like I said, they control the ball. So those are the strengths, in my opinion. The weaknesses, 27th. Can't stress this enough. 27th in points per drive allowed on defense. That is a wild stat, like an eye-opening stat. Their cornerbacks, not that good. Third down defense, they don't get off the field, and I don't think their edge rushers are that special. So that's kind of how I view Washington, like very drastic two sides of the ball. Offense, awesome. Defense, not awesome. That's different than the Eagles. The Eagles, awesome on offense, awesome on defense. The Eagles' defense is a tougher challenge for the Washington offense than the Washington defense is for this Eagles' offense. This Eagles' offense has enough talent to make this Washington defense pay. The Eagles' defense is playing well enough not to get boat raced by this Washington offense. Doesn't mean this is a game they'll definitely win. Doesn't mean that, you know, this should be a definite win. But it does mean that, like, going into this, I think this might be a Jalen Hurts, like, go out and win the game, man. Like, you're not facing a great defense. You're in prime time. It's a big time game. This to me, the defense is beatable for Washington. And that is a big part of this. So that is my initial read through of Washington. As I said, it's going to be a busy week. We're going to get into a lot of stuff this week. Me and James are recording a pod Tuesday and Wednesday. Of course, I'll have the daily pods for you each day. We're going to have the Players Lounge with Jordan Mailata. I'm going to be with on Spike and Ike Tuesday at 3:00. So there'll be a lot of talk about this really big game. But my initial read on it, I think the Eagles are going to win this one. So that'll do it for today's podcast. As I mentioned, happy birthday, Dad. Love you. Hope you're enjoying your birthday. And as we always say to end the pod, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.
Go Birds!
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.